Welcome, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. November 27th, 2023. Have your host, James J. We've got a Seth Habhager pitch hitting today.
I am here. Yes, indeed.
We appreciate you being here, Seth. Thanks so much for the time. Mm-hmm. Send a shout out to our partner in crime around here, Randy Paul, out there working hard for us. But Randy's still going to be present because he sent us the Cranberry Classic scores.
And yes,
he gave
that's
us some information on that. I know that you were covering the games from here. We'll get into that. We'll also get into a little bit of Badgers talk. I want to talk Wisconsin Badgers football. We'll talk about that a little bit, and we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. 715-424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. We'd love to hear from you. Call up and get us anything. Wherever you want to take the conversation, we'll go. That direction.
Yep.
Because the direction I want to start in, Seth, I don't know, do you have anywhere you want? I know you had weekend. Yeah. I don't even know if you got a chance to pay attention to sports as a busy person. Yeah. But I want to talk a little bit about the coaching carousel that is going on. And this is actually going back to a conversation you and I had around 6 this morning.
That's true.
As the news broke earlier on that Carolina Panthers have fired head coach Frank Wright.
Mm-hmm.
Not even completing his first season in Carolina.
They just hired him earlier. Wow. Yeah.
It does feel like it was yesterday they hired him.
Yeah.
In college football, I want to extend this to college football as well, because that is a true madness carousel where Texas A&M looked like during the weekend that they were going to be without a dance partner, because one of the worst things to happen to a coach or to a university or a team is, I want this guy. And that guy don't want me.
No, thank you.
And they got that twice this weekend.
Ooh.
And it's really bad.
It's rough.
Now, the job has gone to Mike Elko, Duke defensive coordinator, currently with Duke, going to be with Texas A&M. He is a former Aggie, so they're bringing in a university guy. But how do you feel being Mike Elko, where everybody knows you're the third guy? You're the third choice. You are not the number one choice. I'm curious how you guys would handle that out there. 715-424-2600. I know for me, I've always been a believer of, I got a job once thanks to affirmative action. And I found it out after about a month on the job, and there was a part of me that was so angry about that. And then I realized, oh, I got my foot in the door. Now I'm going to make sure that they can't get rid of me.
There you go.
I'm going to make myself so valuable that they see that they should have hired me regardless.
Right.
But I can see a little frustration in the idea of getting a job that you don't necessarily, whether you earned it or you kind of were the last man standing, or however you want to look at it. There's only so many jobs. There's college football is a little different. There's 116 of them.
Yeah.
But at the same time, at Texas A&M, at the SEC, that's a coveted gig.
Yeah, it is.
You know they're going to pay you.
I was going to say, although I'd be curious to know if they've publicized how much he's getting paid after the huge buyout from before. So I don't know.
I think part of the reason everybody had an Urban Meyer type going into this gig, I never saw that coming because of the money they already owe. They got Texas money, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But again, everybody ends up falling to that at some point. I don't care if you're Nike or Amazon or whoever. Mm-hmm. Your bottom line, your shareholders, they're going to start to feel that, and they're going to say something.
Yes, indeed.
Texas A&M college football, no different.
Nope.
No different than any of these businesses that are being run out there. If you think any differently, you're a fool. I'm sorry. but at this point in 2023, if you think college football is anything other than a sports business,
it is.
Yeah.
Don't delude yourselves anymore, people. Please don't.
The highest paid person in every state is the head football coach of that state.
Yes. Professional. Yeah. Highest paid public official. Man, I can't get that out. But that's how many states? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I know in Wisconsin it's the truth. It's the truth in Wisconsin.
It is all around us, too. And so I'm kind of curious how you guys would handle that and what you think of the coaching carousel that goes on.
Yeah.
It's a little different than when we were kids, Seth. We were talking about this with the NFL. It used to be in the NFL. This happened every once in a blue moon, maybe Al Davis. But it didn't happen that often. Now, recruiting in the NFL isn't that different than college football now.
No.
It's a different – there's layers to it that are different.
Yeah, it's a different way of doing it, but in the same way, there's a lot of similarities that don't seem on the surface.
But nobody wants to go play for a franchise. franchise that doesn't look like they don't have their stuff together.
Yeah.
And so you look like you have your stuff together more if you get rid of Frank Reich or some of these other coaches earlier.
Right.
We'll take you. Let's find out what's on your mind out there. Good afternoon.
It's cold. That's what's on my mind.
Yeah, it is.
We don't blame you.
Dang cold.
I got a little insight on with my connections with Texas A&M. Their standards for, Wisconsin's got standards for players. Mm-hmm. Texas A&M, all those schools have standards for coaches.
Yeah.
And if you don't meet those standards, that's what having. There were a lot of people, alumni, that weren't happy at A&M with them even hiring Jumbo Fisher.
Yeah, I remember that.
But you were saying that the high school coaches, or not high school, college coaches are the highest paid coaches in Texas, employees. Mm-hmm. Well, high school football coaches in Texas get paid a lot of money.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I saw a stat the other day when this first went down with Jimbo Fisher. No Texas A&M, except for like one scenario, no Texas A&M coach has ever not been fired. They've all been fired. Like 10, 15, like in the history of Texas A&M football, they've all been fired.
Wow.
It's insane, like, to take a gig like that. But that's the game. These guys are insane. Like, you have to be to do this right. Like, Joe Paterno, one of the everybody's grandpa. Everybody loved Joe Paterno. Insane. Crazy man.
Yeah.
Every one of them. And they have to be. You have to be to do this gig. Bobby Bowden, every single person you can think of.
But a little crazy.
All these names I'm mentioning outside of maybe a Paterno or somebody, all fired. All fired. Like, even the greats, we forget about the, what's his name, the famous story with Tom Landry and such getting fired in Dallas and Dallas. All that.
Woody Hayes. Yeah. Woody Hayes was fired. Well, of course, he hit a player in the face.
That didn't help.
But still, he was fired. I mean, the legend coach was still fired.
So, yeah.
I mean, about the only one you don't see get fired is Barry Alvarez, and he just stepped down. That was about it.
Yeah. But that's
But that's Big Ten. I mean, a lot of those coaches really don't get fired. I mean, for a while there, they were talking about Day getting fired because he can't beat Michigan.
I think
at Ohio State.
One of the funniest headlines I would ever see in my life is Ryan Day fired at Ohio State. Like, if that happens, even in the next year or two, even if he beats Michigan once, because we're all going to know why he was fired. Like, the guy's like 80,000 in three, but those three losses. Oh, those three losses.
The way things are in college football, and even it's just they want to win now.
Yeah,
they don't want to have that. They don't want to have to wait 2 years.
You know,
and with the amount of talent that was at Texas A&M this year, they shouldn't be in the position they are in. You know.
I get that to a degree, certainly, if you're spending that kind of money, you want a return on your investment, of course. But I wonder, I feel like as fans, we're always going to be fans. Coaches, always going to coach, always going to find jobs. I feel like the players are the ones that get hurt the most by this because they don't have the consistency. Even now, you could say, you make the argument, consistency with bad coaching ain't going to help anybody.
Right.
So you got to make a call at a certain point. But no different that none of us would say, we know. We've been saying this about Jordan Love for the last 3 years. We don't know him yet. We got to have some evidence. We got to have some data. There's no way we can know Bryce Young yet. There's no way we can know any of these guys yet. How can we say that that about a coach? About Frank Reich or somebody like this who just got the job.
Yeah.
There's different scenarios in all of these, though, too. And the major difference to me with the college and the pro game, certainly, and among many of them, in Carolina, you've got what's looking like to be one of the worst owners in football.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if anybody caught the Frank Reich press conference, what would turn out to be his last one, but he mentioned how the owner over there, he has to have weekly meetings with this guy, and sometimes they're daily, and the guy will give him his notes on football. Frank Reich, you're giving Frank Reich notes on football. I understand he's not a Hall of Famer or anything, but I think Frank
Good
Reich's
coach.
Resume speaks for itself as a player and as a coach.
Yeah, right.
And you, Mr. Billionaire and everything is going to give you notes on football. You're the next Jerry Jones, apparently.
Yeah. Well, it's come down to this. You know, we're firing you, Frank Reich, because we didn't draft C.J. Stroud.
Right.
That was it.
Yeah.
That's what
it comes down to. Yeah. As we had on draft day, we found out that it was the owner's decision and everything to go with him and such. So, to your point. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it was kind of funny thing is, though, that was kind of talking, I was listening to some of the talking heads this morning, and, you know, they're talking about, was it Trevor Lawrence down at Jacksonville?
Yeah.
And how they I can't remember who was coaching when he first came into the league.
Urban and Meyer.
Ah, yes, you're right. And then, so then now with having Pat Peterson there,
look what he's done.
So maybe that's what they need for Bryce Young, is maybe they need a coach. Let Micah Peterson bring in.
They're using
turn things around.
They're using the Trevor Lawrence situation as an example, and I think it's a good one, a fair one. I think Doug Peterson is a great coach, Super Bowl coach, former Packer, all that. I like Doug Peterson and everything. I don't want this to take anything away from him as a coach, because as we're seeing, coaching is a, there aren't that many great coaches, and I think he's one of them. I love that we're using Trevor Lawrence as the example. One of the greatest NFL prospects in human history. A kid who came out the gate looking like an NFL quarterback at like 15. Like, and that's the guy we're going to use as an example, because he had one bad year under one of the worst coaching jobs in NFL history. Of course he looked horrible. And of course he's going to look good coming out of that, because he's Trevor Lawrence. The kid is an Adonis. I mean, look at that kid. He looks like he was born to do this, because he was. It's not a bad example. I don't want to take anything from that. But I do think it's kind of funny that we are just like a couple of years removed of the greatest quarterback prospect, one of the greatest quarterback prospects ever, is Trevor Lawrence. You know, and now we're going to use him as an example of, wow, look at how coaching brought this out of him. And
well,
everything.
Isn't that why they hired Frank Reich?
Yeah,
because he's supposed to be a good quarterbacks coach.
Yeah,
and this is what we get. I mean, yeah, it's just it's nuts. Carolina's got issues.
I mean, a lot of times though, too. You blame it on a coach, but. I mean, I guess I wasn't a real Bryce Young fan in the first place, and
no,
I don't know if he's. I mean, you got to have it between the ears.
And
that's where CJ Stroud is. He's got it between the ears, and I mean, that's just. He's having a phenomenal year, but
all these kids are drafted on potential, and I get that. But you've got to have something to go along with that. And I couldn't agree with you more. I will take a kid who's got it between the ears over the Trevor Lawrences. Not that he doesn't have it between the ears,
right.
But the prospect like that looks perfect.
Physically gifted,
We've seen, if there's one example of seeing a bust, it's that. It's the Jamarcus Russell. It's the kid's got everything you want in a quarterback or an athlete. He's got all the intangibles, all that stuff and everything. But he just doesn't have between the ears. And so many coaches and owners look at a Baker Mayfield or somebody like that. And Baker's a great example of bouncing back from those. And Johnny Manziel, I'm sorry, I meant Johnny Manziel. Baker Mayfield, Johnny Manziel. Johnny Manziel, Jamarcus Russell, some of these guys. It's the consistent theme. That you're the thing that you're unsure of. These NFL owners are that woman or that man that think, oh, I can change him or her. I can change them. Their other relationships didn't work out, but it's going to change with me because I can change this person.
Right,
And I know this because I've been that guy that women think they can change many times.
Well, you can even look back when Vince Young was drafted. He was a good college, he's a great college quarterback, but that he just never amounted to much in the NFL. I mean, but I tell you the truth, I would rather take, should I even say Tom Brady? Look how late he was drafted. Brock Purdy. Look how late he was drafted. I would almost, if I was a team, I mean, maybe that's why the Packers have done so well the last, I mean, granted, I mean, now Rodgers was a number one draft, or was a first-round draft pick along with Love, but it seemed like their evaluation of certain players, even though the third-round draft picks of the Packers aren't very good. They do a pretty good job in the late rounds, and these guys, they get starters out of those late rounds.
I've talked with Coach Peckman about this with River Kings players and scouts and stuff, and I remember talking with Coach Quarters about this. They have a very similarity between the two of them. They've had prospects, and they've had kids that might play here that are talented beyond belief, but they got some off-the-ice stuff that you don't want in this town, and they don't even look at them. They don't even look at them. Like, okay, that's great. I'll send your name to somebody else, but it's not going to work out with us. So much comes back to that, to between the ears. What's in a kid's between? And there's no test for that. There's no. And heck, a lot of owners have gotten in, and scouts have gotten in trouble for asking certain questions that might get you inside of a player's head. So you've really, it's one of those things you roll the dice on. But you also have data. You have some data to go off of. I think that some of these things they tell you in college oftentimes, you know, what kind of person, what kind of player they might be.
Yeah.
So it's always interesting to me to see how that that develops.
Well, the way that they have all this information, the AI now, and all the technology they have, I mean, I would like to know if, you know, from the top, I would say probably, what, four rounds compared to the rest of the league, to the rest of the draft, who's got better qualities? I mean, is it those top, you know, that top group, or is it that bottom half, you know? And it just seems like some of the guys that end up being stars in the NFL or NBA or even in baseball that are drafted late are the ones that actually make it bigger, in the league.
There's not a ton of examples of number one picks, in any sport almost. Baseball is probably the biggest example, I think,
of
number one picks just not working out.
Because of the gap between the majors and the amateur, because just the play is so much better. Yeah. I think that has something to do with it. But.
Always good to talk to you, man.
All right, you guys have a good night, and I'm actually rooting for the Bears tonight. So.
Hey, all right. Mark that down, Pam. Appreciate you.
Oh, wow.
Always good to talk to you, sir.
All right, guys, have a great night.
You too.
I was going to say, I just realized that the Vikings and the Bears are playing tonight. We're supposed to be, taking each other down, do some trash talking maybe, but... You know,
you can tell the position the our teams are in. Yeah, you can tell the position, the win loss record of our teams and what we're expecting of this year. It's one of those things where you're getting to a point in the season. Do I want my team to lose to have a higher draft position?
Yeah, right.
You know, when you start to wonder that as a fan, you go from Super Bowl expectations to that. You know.
Man, the Vikings are having such a weird year. That's so strange. Anyway,
we're going to take this another 10 minutes. When we come back, head coach and GM, if you're Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Coach Paul Peck. Going to join us. Looking forward to that. That's always a good conversation. We'll talk with Coach about the weekend games and that. We've been talking a little bit of college football and college sports and NFL. I want to continue talking a little college football.
Okay.
We'll talk college football. We'll wrap up talking to Cranberry Classic.
Okay.
I think the last segment of the show, we'll get to that.
All right.
Let's continue with the Badgers and Minnesota game that went on this weekend. The battle for Paul Bunyan's axe. The axe is back here in Wisconsin.
It is.
Big game for Coach Fickell and his staff. Two big wins back-to-back there, beating Nebraska, becoming bowl eligible in this. One of the things that I think that actually is funny to me about sports that doesn't really happen very often in life is this idea that we get so big picture, and then as soon as we're in the middle of the game in the season or something, it becomes immediately, you know, quick results, and that's what matters. You come into this, and it's all, hey, Wisconsin, you know, what are they going to do? Are they going to be competitive for maybe a college football playoff, et cetera, winning the Big Ten, that kind of thing? And at a certain point in the season, it becomes, let's just get to a bowl game.
Right.
And that's something that every football fan, every college fan can relate to at some point or another, maybe unless you're an Alabama or Georgia fan. So I think that, we could talk about the expectations coming into the season, blah, 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 all that. I want to deal with right now and going forward.
Right.
And what you have right now is momentum on your side, regardless of what happens in the bowl game. Bowl predictions, most the higher-ups and the people that have brains about this stuff are saying that Auburn and the Badgers are probably going to face off in one of the many bowl games that could be. Music City Bowl is the one that's being predicted the most.
Nashville,
right, so we'll see how that plays out. But regardless, you play in Alabama and you get blown out. Okay, well, chances are Braylon Allen's probably not going to play in that game. He's probably going to commit to playing in the NFL, and he would not be in that game. There's going to be reasons for them maybe not producing in that game. So I'm not worried about the bowl game.
No.
That's just icing on the cake.
Yeah.
Your season wrapped up just this past weekend, and it wrapped up with you winning the biggest rivalry you have.
Exactly.
Forget about giving me the Minnesota win-loss record and the insanity that is P.J. Fleck and all that stuff and everything. You won the game.
Yeah.
Had they lost the game, That's all anybody be talking about.
Yep.
So you can't reverse that on me. Mm-hmm. You can't not give them credit for winning the game and winning it convincingly and seeing a very well, probably the best we've seen of Braylon Allen all season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
You got that momentum going in, and in the college football portal, you have an opportunity here. As Deion Sanders continues to lose commitments, you can gain commitments.
Yeah.
And I like where you're sitting if you're a Wisconsin Badger fan right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I hope this, you know, because I know during the middle of the season when they hit that, you know, lost those couple of games, rough games, they probably should have won. I mean, people were, like you said, they were like, what's going on? What's happening? Ah, we're freaking out here. Mm-hmm. And it's like you got to have a little patience. I think this is the year, this is the adjustment year for the Badgers. And I think the last two games that you've seen then what they're building towards.
Yes.
And I think next year is going to be a whole lot better. I'm not going to say they're going to, you know, jump out next year and be able to, you run with Ohio State or Michigan or anything like that. But I'm just going to say, I think they're going to be a lot better next year. And if Luke Fickell is as good as advertised, I think you're going to start seeing more better results next year. So
we know the man can recruit. Mm-hmm. We know that he can bring these kids in. And if you look at the draft picks out of the University of Cincinnati over the last 6-7 years with a Sauce Gardner and guys like that.
So talent, man. Yeah.
You know, he can't just find talent. He can help grow that talent.
Yeah, develop it.
Yep. We've just finished his first year. You know, mm-hmm. All of this, if you noticed, I was going somewhere with this whole conversation going back with the caller and everything else, the patience with these coaches mm-hmm. and the idea of letting them breathe a little. The expectations in Wisconsin and Texas A&M and College Station are two gigantic differences to the caller's point earlier about the way that football is in Texas.
Yeah, absolutely.
I, looking like I do, managed to survive in middle of Texas because I knew I could talk football.
Great equalizer,
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah. It really was. I got some funny looks until I started talking about the local high school teams.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, it was like, well, let me get you a beer. It was great. I understand that. With that being said, I think that to me, you care that much about something. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be about, okay, win or nothing. It should be about, well, how do we get to winning? Mm-hmm. Obviously, what we've been doing hasn't been working.
Right.
Getting a coach, giving them a couple of years, firing them. Get a coach, couple of years, fire them.
Yeah.
Like, that obviously is not a good system. It is just the definition of insanity.
Yeah.
Looking at a Wisconsin, looking at some of these universities where they love football, love it.
Mm-hmm.
Just ain't the most important thing in the world.
Right.
Maybe having that is what you need as a Texas fan, as mm-hmm. a fan of if you really do love the sport, you can have perspective.
Mm-hmm.
We do this with family members all the time. Our families are not perfect. I am so sorry to tell everybody that.
What?
I know. It's shocking. I found out this weekend. I just found out at the age of 46 my family's not perfect. But we love them anyway. We give them time. We give them patience. We give them love. We give them all those things. You have to treat this game a little bit like that, I think, if mm-hmm. you were and I don't think they're ever going to. That ship sailed a long time ago. But I think that you look at Big Ten teams that love their football, mm-hmm. and I think probably second to an SEC, I think that's
pretty
fair to see, if we had a gauge of who loves football the most, nobody's arguing with Texas in the South loving football. I think the Midwest here is right there at number two.
Mm-hmm.
Insane about it. We just don't lose our minds maybe over it and everything.
I don't know. I've lived in Wisconsin long enough to see some mind-losing occasionally.
I was saying all of that, all that was flashing in my brain are crazy football fans from all over this whole Midwest of ours. Yes, you could throw that right back. Somebody just grab that and throw it right back in my face.
How long have you lived here?
Yeah. Before we go to break, I did want to touch on a couple of quick notes. One, this is from Twitter. We got this Big Ten championship game appearances by school as the Big Ten championship is set between Michigan and Iowa.
Good luck, Iowa.
After that game, that next Playmakers, I want to know how many of you watched that game. I want to know who watched that because you got to pay me to watch that one.
No.
You got to pay me.
Sorry.
But I want to see what happens more. Iowa bringing Michigan down to their level or Michigan just running over Iowa and that offense.
Right.
So Big Ten championships, since they've been doing this, six for Ohio State, and Wisconsin.
Yeah.
The two most Big Ten championship mm-hmm. appearances are by those two universities. Pretty cool for
yeah,
Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
Three appearances from Michigan, Iowa, and Michigan State. Not mm-hmm. bad at all. And a big credit to Iowa, who does this with no recruiting help or NIL or anything
it's
like
Iowa.
That.
Yeah.
I mean, they can't get out of their own way offensively.
They only... They got Kayla Clark. Maybe she can help.
You're right? Yeah, get her on that offensive coaching team for the football team. Yeah.
Heck with that. Maybe she can catch some passes. I don't know.
Yeah, I love the idea of seeing Caitlin Clark out there. Northwestern has two. Northwestern
not
has
bad.
Won two Big Ten yeah. championships. I think mm-hmm. they get lost. And a big credit to Northwestern's intern coach and that team.
They had a lot better year than anyone thought.
I'm talking about those players and that coaching staff, not mm-hmm. the university, and how they have handled things, obviously, horribly.
Yeah.
It's nice to see that we really overrated for Coach Fitzgerald for a very long time.
Yeah, like
we overrated
pretty much.
Him by millions of standards.
Yes, yeah.
Penn State, Nebraska, and Purdue with one appearance. Penn State. With one appearance in the Big Ten Championship. That's a little surprising to me.
It is. It is.
And then coming in with zero, Minnesota.
Yeah, yeah.
Minnesota is not alone, though. The Stoughton Youth Flag Football Club, the Wisconsin Alzheimer Institute, the Amazing Grace Chorus Group, all have not also finished in the Big Ten Tip.
Hey, there's still Maryland.
There's still Maryland that has it either.
Yeah, Rutgers. Nebraska.
We're, not alone. Not alone. Indiana, as we wrap up Big Ten college football talk mm-hmm. a little bit here, Indiana let go of their coach, Tom Allen, over the weekend. $20.8 million buyout.
Again, what the what, man?
To coach at Indiana?
To coach at Indiana?
Who's paying him that? Who okayed that?
How's Whitewater doing? I got to check out. Let me go Division 3 here.
Good idea. Seth's going to check on that during the break. When we come back, GM and head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River King, Coach Paul Peckman, going to join us. Looking forward to talking to Coach in just a few right here on Playmakers, which we are proud that is brought to you by our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Rapids. Welcome back, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. A big shout out to Phil and the gang over there at Quality Plus. We are joined, Seth and I, now by GM and head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Coach Paul Peckman. Coach, good to see you.
Good to see you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. I want to get into the upcoming games you got coming up here to kick off December. I want to talk about the team and how that's going. But you were, and I appreciate this, you were listening to the show coming in today, and thank you very much for doing that. We were talking a little bit about scouting, a little bit about gauging these athletes, these players, these kids, really,
right.
You know.
Right.
You touched on something coming in here. I don't mind, if you don't mind, let's pick up right there.
Well, I think the biggest thing when you're recruiting, you want to see the compete level.
Mm.
You want to see their heart. You know, it's you can see talent in 5 seconds, right?
Yeah.
But you want to know what's inside, what makes this kid tick. And because when you're going at our level and higher, right, the difference is so minute.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's all, and you're right, between the ears, mm-hmm. right? But it's the in the heart. You know, what kind is this kid, what is he willing to do? To separate himself from everybody else, right? That commitment, that effort.
I feel like in all sports, you get examples of that. You know, over the weekend in football, we saw a Steelers receiver go after a loose fumble. We've all seen in baseball a guy not run out a pop fly or things like this. In hockey, what are some examples of that for you? For me, the first thing I think of is a defenseman, diving in front of a puck in front of the goalie, taking shots to the face and things like that. Like, is that some of it? That's just what I'm thinking of as a kid watching hockey, though.
No question. It's guys, and we talk, we call it eating pucks.
Yeah.
Right? You just got to eat it.
Yeah.
Just eat it, and that's the sacrifice. That's the commitment level, right? And you got guys that the body language speaks volumes to me, and, you know, all this lip service, I'm not a big guy on that. Actions speak louder than words, right? So guys that don't back check, guys that aren't forechecking, guys that are just kind of standing around, you know, woe is me and nothing's going my way. You know, that's the stuff that you look for.
I don't think of body language ever, really, when it comes to sports. But yet, it's something that I pick up on, and I'm always looking at, and I'm always present of. The quarterback that just threw an interception, and watching him and reading him and playing dime store psychologist and everything like
right,
that.
Right.
But I don't think about it. That's such an interesting thing to note and such. I imagine having to wear so many hats in the organization, you've got to think about those things a lot more often than any of us would. Huh. That's interesting.
Yeah, it all comes into play, and it's off the ice just as much as on the ice. Listen, if you get scratched, how are you going to react?
Mm-hmm. Right?
You're still a teammate.
Yeah.
You know, you still got to support your guys, because when you're in the lineup, somebody else is sitting out, right? You want their support, so you got to do the same. And if you're not willing to do that, you're probably not going to be around very long. Right?
At this level, we were talking earlier about the pro game and the coaching carousel, and a lot of that goes on. If we talked baseball, we'd be talking about the carousel of the players. That's kind of what the off-field stuff, now it is mid-season stuff that you talk about and everything. At this level of hockey, do you think that there is that one of the benefits is the patience that most of these organizations have with a coaching staff or a team? Or is that true? Is it the same with at this level? You got to produce now. You've got to kind of get this done.
It just depends on ownership.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, I mean, I've been with a couple different organizations in my career, and some had patience, some didn't.
Mm-hmm.
You guys get fired and do a great job.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So
yeah.
It's just...
Especially in hockey.
Personalities, it's just one thing or another. There's a lot of different variables.
I can't remember his name, and I apologize, but I remember being, a teenager or something, and the Buffalo Sabres head coach.
Lindy Ruff?
Yeah. He goes to the Stanley Cup, and it gets fired, like the next day, like the day the Cup ended and everything, and I couldn't believe it. It's one of the biggest examples, but this happens in hockey all the time. Coaches get fired, and in part because so much of it is produced now, especially when you look at like some of our Canadian teams and Maple Leafs and Canadians and stuff like that, where you've really got, they've been waiting a long time to see, some production and everything. So that is an interesting, it is interesting to see the different layers to that.
In juniors, it's a lot of it has to do with personalities,
yeah.
You know, and usually the owners don't have the concept of what this, at our level, is what it's all about,
yeah.
You know, so they might be win now, that kind of stuff, but they're not willing to give you the tools that you need to get to put together a team like that.
Right.
Right. And then, I won organization, I won almost 100 games. And then we just kind of butt heads and I said, I'm done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
But,
yeah.
That's crazy to me. But it also, it's not far, it's something that we've all, as sports fans, heard examples of. It just never makes sense to me. As much as we get insane and love sports and eat and sleep and breathe it and everything, it always comes back to being a business, no matter what level it is.
Exactly,
and
you'd
think that people could, but I've been in examples of that, not even in the sports world, that where it didn't work out and I couldn't finish a gig or something like that.
Right.
I think we've all got examples of that in our work life too. It just is weird when you think about it sometimes, like, wow, they couldn't make that Jerry Jones and Jimmy Johnson example, where they could have probably won two more Super Bowls at least. And couldn't get their egos out of the way.
That's right.
We got the River Kings in second place in the division right now. Congratulations to them on that. Like seeing that. Love seeing that at this point in the season, especially.
Yeah.
We've got on Friday a couple of games kicking off over this weekend, and you're back home for a nice stretch here.
Mm-hmm.
These first two games I want to touch on, Coach. You're taking on Steele County Blades. What are your preview of this game? What are you looking at for out of your team for these games?
Well, I'm looking for us to play a hell of a lot better than we did the last time we played them.
Yeah.
So I think the guys are more prepared now. Playing at home obviously is going to be a big factor for us. I think we've matured a lot as a team. We've got a couple of pieces coming in now with SJ LeComp and now this new guy coming in. I think the pieces are starting to fall into place in here, so we're very deep.
Yeah,
we have a deep roster. We can throw it at anybody and do well. Now it's just about producing, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, and against this team, Steele County has got a goaltender that's very, very good. He's one of the best in the league, and he carries them, you know. And if we can't find a way to break that, we're in trouble. And you know, we split with them last time, but it's not enough. We need to, in order to keep pace with the Squatch and the Hudson. We got to win the games that we should win, and I think these are two that we got to win.
Yeah, Steele County sitting at sixth place in the division, so certainly there's a gap between you two, the two teams. But you mentioned the goalie play, and that evens everything out.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to a hot goalie, are you leaning on your wings, your center? Are you winging on just Pepper in the net? And I don't want to give away anything, any insight or anything. I want to give that to Steele County.
No.
But as a broad example of what you would do, even if what you would do as a fan watching an NHL team or something, you know, and you're screaming at your TV, Pepper in the net, you know, that kind of thing.
You're exactly right. Listen, it's not rocket science we're doing here, right? I mean, you got to get the puck to the net, right? And you got to crash the net. You got to be in front of the goalie. You got to take away his eyesight. You got to throw as many pucks as you can. It's a numbers game, right?
Mm-hmm.
The ratio is for every 10 shots, you should get one, right?
Right.
So
right.
If you look at any scoreboard, if they're in the 40 shot range during the course of the game, they usually have four goals or more,
mm-hmm.
right? So we have to do a better job of that, which we did in the showcase. I thought we played very well. I'm proud of what we accomplished. We did exactly what I hoped we would do. And the way that we rebounded after losing two tough ones and then come back and beat Toledo, which is in first place in their division, they're a good team, and we played them very well.
Yeah.
You know, beat them handily.
Before the showcase, the things that you were looking for coming out of the showcase, I would say that you hit the check.
Yeah.
It looked pretty. It also seemed like the team really enjoyed itself.
Yeah.
The real growing experience for them, real bonding experience for them.
It definitely is. And these are the times, you know, because listen, there's a lot of college scouts in the stands, mm-hmm. right? So we had a lot of colleges talk to our guys. Everybody seemed to really talk about us a lot, and they liked our team, and they liked the way we play. So I'm happy about that. It gives, you know, I want everybody to be proud of the River Kings and how we conduct ourselves on and off the ice, and I think we did a good job.
We spent the majority of the first half of the season on the road. I bring that up because we get six games in a row here at the Southwood County Rec Center. Encourage everybody to get your tickets. Show them what home ice advantage is. Let's make sure to fill that arena, that rink. What are you excited about with this stretch here? And what are your expectations at the end of this when we're talking at the end of this run?
Well, yeah, I mean, these six games are critical.
Yeah.
They're very important because everything that we accomplished up to this point doesn't mean anything if you lose four, five, six of them, right?
Right.
You got to keep the momentum going, which is what we just got off the ice talking about, momentum, right?
Yes.
It's good to have a break, but it can also screw with you a little bit because it breaks that momentum a little bit. So I think that's for us. It's just to keep building on that momentum here. We need minimum four. Four out of six. Anything above that, it's a bonus. Mm. You got the Moose and you got the Squatch right after Steele County, right?
Uh-huh.
So there's no gimmies here.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to come ready to go, and I think we will.
Right on. Coach, we always appreciate it when you join us. We're looking forward to hanging out again real soon. Thanks a lot for the time and being here in the fourth period.
You got it.
Thank you, Coach.
All right.
Get your tickets and support your Kings as they build hockey up and down the river. Go to riverkingshockey.com. Bookmark that page if you haven't done so already. Riverkingshockey.com. We'll be talking about the Kings all week long as we build up to this game. And, of course, you can catch these games right over on our sister station, WIRI. Seth, you make sure that these games get played right.
I do. I pull some knobs and switches,
yes.
And I make sure that the sound comes out. So that's what I do.
But I did want to.
I get a good seat, though. I get to listen to the game.
You do have one of the best seats in the house. That is awesome. We appreciate that and appreciate having River Kings Hockey on WIRI 105.5. We'll be talking more about that throughout the week here, and we'll be back with more Playmakers right here on WFHR. Welcome back, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Ooh, I hit all the breaks that time. All three of the times we played the intro, I hit it each
boom.
One of them. Yeah, I'm feeling good about that. That and 300. We're looking forward to talking with Coach again, but a big thank you to GM and head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Coach Paul Peckman. The problem with talking to Coach is what you guys don't know is we never stop talking.
Like, no.
As soon as he gets in here, we're talking. I'm trying to do the intro, we're talking. And during the commercial break there, we didn't want to let the guy leave.
It just keeps going.
Yeah.
Just keeps going.
RiverKingsHockey.com. Get on over there. Be sure to bookmark that and keep it up to date on all your River Kings action. And, of course, you can catch River Kings action right on our sister station, WisCountry 105.5 WIRI, starting this Friday, 6:59. Our pregame kicks off. Wisconsin Rapids River Kings hosting the Steele County Blades.
Yes.
Mark going to be running that one for us. Seth going to take care of the board.
Yeah, Mark, as for those of you who don't know, Mark Lochner is the – basically, he's the color guy. They don't have always the same play-by-play. It was Matt last time. I don't know if Matt will be coming back or not.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But either way, it'll be fun. So tune it in. It's good hockey. They do a really good job with it. So
looking real forward to that.
Yeah.
I wanted to get to a little bit of other coverage. And we wanted to get to the Cranberry Classic.
Yep.
So let's go ahead and do that. Let's get that taken care of. And, of course, the Cranberry Classic you heard right here at WIRI. great weekend of high school basketball.
Yeah, it was.
Love the Cranberry Classic. You actually touched on this during our morning show earlier today, being a part of a tradition around here.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that I came at. One of the first things I found out about moving to Rapids, or not moving here, but being in high school, being older,
being to school here, yeah.
And getting around here and stuff. And it's one of our favorite times of year is this classic, the way this goes. I want to send a shout out to Assumption's own Randy Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Reached out to Randy, he got us the information of the classic.
Yep.
So here are the results. On the girls' side on Friday, Assumption defeated Nakusa 82-6.
That's not a typo.
It's not a typo.
That's not a typo.
I've never seen a score like that in basketball. I have friends and people I love and care about in the Nakusa area. I don't want this to sound bad or anything. There's a parallel universe. I would have went to high school in Nakusa.
Nakusa, yeah.
So I'm not talking trash. I just have never seen that before. I genuinely haven't. I was dumbfounded by that, and I had to triple check because I thought Randy just forgot to add a zero. I had to triple check that one. Yeah, that's an insane score.
Yes.
In the other game, Wyoega Fremont clipped the Columbus Catholic Dons 51-50.
That was probably the most, I mean, we didn't broadcast it, but according to Mike, who was there, that was probably one of the most exciting games of the whole weekend because Columbus had the lead for almost the entire game. But then in the end, Wyoega came up and got the shot in the end to was a little bit of an upset because I think that's Wyoega's Fremont's first time here, if I remember correctly.
I will stand on this, and hockey is a close second, but no sport is better in the last minute or 30 seconds than basketball.
It's something, man.
There's nothing like it. Nothing like it. A team could be down 20 points, and in the last 2 minutes, they come back.
Yep.
And it's like this on every level, from grade school to
the
pros. Yeah. I love that about basketball. Mm-hmm. Saturday, Assumption whipped Wyoega Fremont 74-28.
Assumption is still they're still a pretty good team. Pretty good team. Let's put it that way.
Seems pretty fair to say that. Columbus Catholic knocked off Nakusa 59-31. On the boys' side, Friday, Port Edwards topped Assumption 52-41. Columbus Catholic got by Nakusa 87-50. And then on Saturday, Assumption nipped Nakusa 69-67. Columbus stopped Port Edwards 58-34.
Yeah, the third place game was probably, again, according to Mike, which we didn't broadcast, was probably one of the one of the other exciting games. It was the close one again for the boys for the third that Assumption won for the third place game. I want to do a big shout out though to Port Edwards, who had a very good Friday night game against Assumption, and then they had a tough time on Saturday against Columbus, but it was fun to something, you know, a team that we don't get to broadcast very much in Port Edwards, and it was fun to hear them on the airwaves.
Assumption scored 220 some points, gave up 28.
That's domination.
That really is. Nice weekend of college high school basketball. Mm-hmm. Congratulations to all four teams, all five teams, I should say, because they had an extra team in there this year. great job by everybody involved.
Yeah,
all the concession people, the Brickhousers, everybody involved.
Sounded like they had a very nice attendance for pretty much both days. So excellent.
Really happy. Really proud of that. Looking forward to next year's already.
Mm-hmm.
And a great job by our staff too. too. Mark, you, Seth, nice work by everybody. Mm-hmm. A good one. Good weekend of high school basketball.
Yeah, it was.
Speaking of keeping the basketball theme going a little bit here, the Milwaukee Bucks had a great weekend. Really, I think a pretty good one. Mm-hmm. And in part because of the win over the Blazers yesterday. And the Bucks overcame a 26-point third-quarter deficit to defeat the Trail Blazers 108-102.
Wow.
In Damian Lillard's first game back in Portland. Mm-hmm. Pretty big deal when it came to that. Thought it was interesting. The fan base didn't have any issue really with him. It didn't seem really like there was a whole lot of like gripe or anything. And I think it's in part because of the way he left.
Yeah, like not too many hard feelings, which is that's kind of cool. I like that.
Yeah, it's a nice change of pace.
Yeah, it's I'm like, say what happens with the Cubs.
Yeah,
come to Milwaukee this summer. I think we're going to hear something a little different.
I cannot wait for that must see listen or watch TV. Yes. Interesting stat here from ESPN. The Trailblazers had a greater than 98% chance to win Sunday's game during the third quarter, according to ESPN's win probability analytics, before the Bucks completed one of the biggest comebacks in recent franchise history.
Wow.
This was Milwaukee's second largest comeback in the past 25 years, behind only a 27-point comeback against Chicago on November 26 in 2012.
Wow. That's impressive.
There are 82 of these. It's an insane season. A billion things will change between now and come playoff time. But one thing you can count on is games like this.
Mm-hmm.
That teams build off of games like this and believing that the game is never out of their grasp, that they can't lose this. We are talking about look at a guy like a Bobby Portis or somebody who's never necessarily been a top he wasn't a top recruit in maybe high school. He wasn't the top guy drafted in coming out of college. He's never been an NBA All-Star necessarily or the best player on his team. Bobby Portis's confidence in himself and his game would blow away anybody in any pickup game or anything like that the rest of his life. You know, and that's just him as an example. Like,
yep.
Think about Giannis. Think about Damian Lillard. The confidence it takes to get to this level. We're talking about an insane level of confidence. And then that confidence has data to back it up. Yeah. We came back earlier. Remember earlier in the season when we came back against Portland, that 26-point deficit when you're behind coming into halftime in a playoff game or something like that? That's what these guys – that's the insanity they have that helps them do this game. Mm-hmm. So those kind of wins matter. Those kind of wins mean something, especially for a young coach, a coaching staff that is still trying to build trust with players and players that are trying to build trust with the coaching staff.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be, boy, I'm telling you, right now, the East is looking like three teams. I'm guessing, you know, that's what I would say. You've got Boston and you've got Philly and you've got Milwaukee, you know. Yeah. I know Indiana's playing is pretty good right now too, but those are the three teams. I mean, the West is great. I mean, what's going on with the Timberwolves? I'm a Timberwolves fan. I'm like, what's going on? Yeah. Why are they winning?
Yeah.
It's like, what's going on here?
In spite of some of the moves made by ownership with the Rudy Gobert move and everything, drafting wise, Minnesota has always seemed like a smart team, even though with different owners, different coaches, and all that, have always seemed to draft smart. Always been really like they didn't just take a leap on Kevin Garnett. They did their homework on him. A lot of, you know, it's easy to say, but Kevin Garnett came out of high school and we had no data and did not know what he was going to be, the potential. They saw that. They certainly other teams did and everything. I'm not saying they were the only ones that did, but they saw something in him. And it's very similar with Anthony Edwards, where a lot of people saw, okay, the kid's got talent, but it's not a him league. We don't see him as that. We don't, and look at what this kid has done.
I know, it's pretty remarkable.
And flourished. And I love that he likes playing in Minnesota.
He does.
He's embraced that, and he's embraced the climate, the people, all of those things. They used to say that, you know, they do this in all sports, but you know what? The NBA is better when the Knicks are competitive and that kind of thing, when the Lakers are competitive.
Oh,
I've never agreed with that. What I will agree with, what I will hear you out on is the NBA is better when Milwaukee, when Minnesota, when these smaller franchise when these smaller markets are better.
Okay, oh, yeah.
Then I'm listening. Mm-hmm. When the fans in San Antonio have something to cheer about and Victor Wembanyama and something like that, you know, that's all of a sudden I'm listening. That I hear. That you will hear me on. The NBA has survived pretty okay with the Knicks being bad our whole lifetimes, Seth. Like, basically, outside of a year or two here or there.
There was that one finals in the 90s. That was it, you know, and then what else? Not much.
I mean,
then just Reggie Miller. you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Doing that.
Otherwise, it seems like the NBA has survived.
It's been fine.
Somehow, it's managed.
You know, I know we only got a few minutes left, but real quick, I want to. We get that argument a lot.
Yeah.
In every single sport, it's like, oh, you know, it's better if the East Coast teams do better than the West Coast. Yeah. You know, blah 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 blah. No. No, yeah, maybe for that area, it does.
I
contend that if you have teams that are good everywhere, and it's not always the same four teams, you have a better sport. You have a better league. The whole thing is doing better, and I think that's what you should be going for.
Yeah.
And that's so. I know a lot of people are complaining about parity, especially in the NFL. Yeah. Rah, rah, rah. No, I don't mind. I think it's better for any sport to kind of spread it around. You know, if you're going to be make stupid decisions like the Panthers, then you're going to pay for it. But if everyone's trying to draft well and make smart trades and all that kind of stuff, yeah. Then there should be better teams in different places.
Just a couple of minutes of show left. 424-2600 if you want to join the conversation. Just a one button you got to press if you're listening on the Civic Media app. Encourage you to do that. Seth, you did you went all this way. We didn't get to talk baseball. Like, we got two minutes to talk a little baseball. I just know that you like baseball.
I lost two pitchers today the last couple of days.
Yeah, that's part of the reason I didn't want to really bring up baseball. That's rough. To make you feel a little bit better, my White Sox are any day now. I'm going to see the headline of him, Dylan Cease, traded. Like, that'll happen any day now. It's all I've been seeing.
Yeah. Likelihood.
I will not see the things I want to see out of that franchise, but Dylan Cease is more than likely going to be traded, and it looks like Atlanta is the biggest suitor. So we'll see what happens with that.
Well, if nothing else, hopefully they can get a decent return. Atlanta's got a pretty good farm system, so I think they can get some players from that. Yeah.
Yeah, hopeful about that one. Yep. We'll see. I'm very, very – Glasgow in Tampa Bay is on the market.
Oh, Taylor Glasgow. Yes.
Taylor Glasgow is apparently on the market, so that is interesting.
We kind of touched on it a little bit. Since it's such a weak, and nothing against the players, but it's a weak free agent class this year. Yeah. You're going to be seeing some pretty big trades. We might see a couple of blockbusters coming up here at the winter meetings. So, yeah.
I would be very surprised to see the Yankees stand pat.
Oh, no.
that would shock me.
Listening to Brian Cashman recently, whose filter apparently is gone.
Yeah.
he's heard the fans, and he's like, okay, all right, you want to hear? I'll tell you what it's like, what it's all about.
When we were talking about insane fan bases and entitled fan bases.
The Yankees.
Like,
oh, boy.
Because I was paying attention a little bit to some of the conversations coming out of, like, Oklahoma and Nebraska. And Nebraska, it's hilarious because they believe that they should, every year, they should be competing not for a Big Ten championship, a national championship. Yankee fans, not that far different from Nebraska fans.
Nebraska, you haven't been good since Darren Erstad was your punter.
Yeah, man. nice reference. I'm interested in the hot stove. What's going to happen with that? Because
it'll be heating up
definitely, and especially because there's not much on the stove itself. So I'm curious to see how that goes. I wanted to wrap up talking about a local legend that we lost over the weekend, Louis Bennett's. Coach Bennett's, where if you went to Lincoln High School, or maybe even if you just were a kid that went to high school in Wisconsin Rapids, you probably knew of Coach Bennett's. I got to meet him a handful of times over the years. He was a teacher for me and always treated me with respect when not a lot of people did. And certainly not many people, in fact, if anybody, has a coaching legacy like he does, certainly especially with wrestling.
As Mike said very eloquently before one of the games this weekend, he's known statewide for what he did for wrestling, not just for Wisconsin Rapids, but for the state of Wisconsin, and his brilliant coaching throughout his career.
National Federation of State High School Association Hall of Fame finished his coaching career with 17 state championships,
17.
Over 700 dual wins.
Who wins that? That's crazy.
Yeah. You'll never see another coaching record like this.
No.
Yeah, and we're thankful that we got to experience it, see him. Certainly our hearts go to his friends, his family, to everybody that knew Mr. Bennett's. You will be missed, and your legacy is intact, sir.
Yes.
It's a great game, a great show today.
Yeah, it was a good one. It was fun. Great game. Great game.
Great game, everybody. We'll meet you back here for another one.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.